Blog Talk Radio.
The scriptures clearly teach is that we, as believers, should know history. God tells us in passages like Romans 15:4 and Isaiah 43. He tells us also in 1 Corinthians 10 and Hebrews 11 and Psalm 73 and 78 and so many other places. He says to recall the former days, to remember the former times. Throughout the scriptures, we see that when a people remembers their history, they behave differently than when they forget their history. We see that even recovering histories, in the case of Josiah and the temple, leads to a national revival. Or in the case of Esther and Mordecai, the use of history by the king one night kept Mordecai from being hanged on the gallows and thus preserved the nation. So history is huge. God is into it. But in America, we don't do a good job of knowing our own history, and we need to. The scripture says that his people perish for lack of knowledge. We've been taught in America for years that what we're about is economics. We formed this nation because of taxation without representation. We need to know our history better. Taxation without representation does appear in the Declaration of Independence, but it's only one out of 27 issues that appear there. There's also religious issues. There's moral issues. There's so many other things than what we just hear today on economics. We need to go back and see that we were founded in this nation. Four clauses of the Declaration say that they didn't want activist judges. Two clauses say they wanted to end slavery. We have clauses over preserving the right to have Bible societies and other religious exercises. So as Christians, we need to know our history. We don't need to just go with what we've been taught. We ought to go back and read the documents. It's one thing to be taught what the Bible says. It's another thing to read it. So I challenge you. Follow up on what God says in the Scriptures. Know our history. Recall the former days. Let's go back and look at some of the patriots we had that were such strong Christians that are leaders that we don't even hear about today. So I challenge you. Do some research. Go to websites. Look at things that will tell you about your faith history as a Christian. It's important you know that so that you know how to behave today.
Welcome, listeners, to City on a Hill. We're so grateful that you've tuned in. And as always, we ask that you invite your friends and family throughout the country, really throughout the world, to come join us, come and learn with us. And today we are privileged to have our dear friend, Mr. Dan Fraley. He is a teacher of Hebraic roots, and so he is just really an amazing person, and we are thanking God that he is our dear friend, and we can just call upon him for such a time as this. But we want to start off the show with a prayer, so I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Dan to start us off on the right foundation. Hi, Mr. Dan.
Hello, you're trying to give me a big head.
Well, no, that won't happen. You're too humble.
All right, let's go to the Lord. Abba, Father, Lord, we just praise you and thank you for another day, Father, to be able to speak of your ways, Father, and to lift you up and learn about you, Father, just in discussion. Come, let us reason together. And, Lord, that's what we all need to do as Christians. Lord, we just need to raise you up and put you in the forefront here in these last of the last days because we're getting close and time's running out and we have a lot of work to do, Father. So you just embellish us with the Holy Spirit and the things that we need to be focused on your kingdom and you as our King. Amen. Oh, and P.S., bless this radio program. And let us speak only the things that you would have us say, Father, in Yeshua's precious name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Mr. Dan.
You're welcome.
Well, Mr. Dan, I hate to start off the show like this, but this is the sign of the times that we live in that a lot of people, unfortunately, I hate to say blind, but they really do not know what's going on. You know, they're doing a lot of good things, you know, taking care of their children, taking care of their families. But I seem to remember, you know, something in the scripture about, you know, ears that don't hear and eyes that don't see. And I think to myself, you know, here we are blessed in this land by God with the ability to really make a difference, you know, in how our future generation will live. I mean, we have been so blessed, and I remember the Founding Fathers saying something about, you know, the decisions they made really was about their posterity. Do you remember that, Mr. Dan?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just, you know, the very blessings you were talking about in this country seems to be what's taking our focus off of God. You know, God has blessed this country, but those blessings are starting to be taken away because now that we have been, I guess, drowned in blessings and haven't been thankful for it because we haven't been giving credit to God for those blessings and we're pulling God out of this country, then he has no other alternative but to start chastising us to get us back on that road of righteousness.
Well, I want to play something that's probably going to shock you, Mr. Dan, and hopefully will shock a lot of the listeners. But, you know, thinking about the founding of this nation, I think, too, about the story of those, you know, those on the Mayflower that, you know, really crossed unknown waters, you know, to go to an unknown world. Why did they do that, Mr. Dan? I seem to remember they did that for their children. I seem to remember that they were in Holland, many of them, and they were saying how their children were growing up away, really, from the training of the Lord and admonition of the Lord. You know, they were becoming really, I guess, more into what the world offered in that nation. And so they set off to cross these deep waters to a land that they didn't know if they were going to be killed the next day or what, and how they were going to make it, in hopes that, you know, their awesome God would lead them to that land of blessings. And it has been a blessing for all of us, Mr. Dan. You know, you and I both know that, but it is so sad what it becomes. So I'm going to just to start off and to just, I think, food for thought for everyone. Hopefully it's not going to be too loud. Tell me if it gets too loud, though.
I'm up against this Common Core thing as well in my children's school. I have 8-year-old twins. My son has a learning disability, which was diagnosed probably at the very end of second grade, which he's in third grade right now. It took a while for them to diagnose him. He just wasn't up to speed. He was not up to his grade level with reading and writing and everything. It was a long haul and a long fight, and, you know, we finally got him tested and got him diagnosed, and, you know, he started getting the extra help that he needed in the beginning of this school year, and, you know, he finally got his confidence level back. He was getting the extra help that he needed, and he was just coming home beaming, and he was so happy, and he was participating in class and raising his hand, and, you know, he's so eager to please. He's such a kind, sweet-hearted little boy. And I even got a phone call from the teacher telling me what a well-behaved, polite little boy that I have. And she told me she never does this. She never calls people home. But she wanted to tell me that my son is such a well-behaved little boy, and it's the ones that listen that are going to be very successful in life. And she told me my son was going to be very successful. Well, here came Common Core. My son has changed before my eyes, and I do not know what to do because I sit here and I feel so helpless. His hope is gone. His confidence level just crashed, and he just gave up. His little head cannot handle the work that they're giving him now, which you're familiar with. This is a one-size-fits-all education, but it does not fit all. And this child is living proof that this is a struggle for all children. My daughter, his twin sister, who does not have a learning disability, is failing the math. Now you take a child with a learning disability and expect a child with a learning disability to handle a math equation that takes 4, 5, 6, 7 steps to get an answer. He's lost by the second step. He's just about had it. I did refuse them the test, and I took them out during testing time, and then I would bring them back. And on the very last day of testing on Friday, I got him into the building, and he kept saying, "I don't want to go, Mommy. I don't want to go. Please don't make me go." And I told him, you know, everything will be okay, and, you know, you're going to be fine. And I got him into the building, and he was just, like, rubbing his hands together and looking at me, and all this frustration was just built up inside him, and he started with one shoe, and he ripped it off, and he threw it across the lobby, and then he took the second shoe off and threw that one across the lobby, and then he threw his metal Spider-Man lunchbox across the floor, then he ripped his sweatshirt off, and he ran for the front door. And he was pushing it open to run from a place that he used to love. And the school psychologist actually had to grab him before he made it out the front door. And she turned him around and walked him past me with no shoes on, walking him down the hall as he turned his head to look at me, and he cried hysterical and said, "Please, Mommy, don't make me go." And this is what Common Core has done to my son.
Well, Pastor Dan, did you get that by chance? Was it clear enough for you to understand?
Yeah, I believe so. Are you still there?
I am. I'm trying to put it back on the headset. What it is, I just, when I first heard about Common Core, and for a long time now, I've been feeling like, I remember the scripture, Mr. Dan, you know it better than I do, about Rachel weeping for the children. I think this was the scripture when Herod was looking for Jesus, and he was killing all the babies that were at that age. Isn't that when Rachel was weeping, that was the scripture? Am I remembering that right?
That was a prophecy that would happen in the future, and that was Herod, yes, killing the 2-year-old babies and below. You remember Jews consider a child back then, when they're born, they're a year old, and then the next Rosh Hashanah, they would be 2 years old, which is the Jewish New Year. And that's about the time that Jesus would have been born, is that time of year, our September, October area. Yeah, and yeah, weeping for the children because, and look what's happening now, you know, that what I just heard. That is shocking.
Let me share a little bit of background for those that really don't know much about it. You know, used to, when you raised your children, if you had a problem with a textbook or anything, you could go to your local school board, and you could tell them, you know, "Hey, I don't agree with this," and they would look into it, you know. And if worse comes to worse, it is bad, you know, they would make a decision to change things, and it'd go up the chain of command, which was the state board. And we have, you know, a great board member here from our district, Betty Peters. Well, back in 2009, the Obama administration put out a carrot for federal grant money called Race to the Top. In order to participate in the race and to win, you had to meet certain things, qualifications. And it's like checking a box. You know, they had a list of things that you could do to get points. You got points for this and points for that. One of those points was to agree to standards that were not your own, not your state standards, but what the rest of the country was going to be under. It's really national standards. And we did that within 2 months. By January, sight unseen, because the standards hadn't even been written yet, we agreed to do that and to implement it. And then, I'm sorry, go ahead, Mr. Dan.
I'm just going to ask you, I don't understand how things get implemented that quickly. What's going on with Congress? I mean, there's so many things going on that Congress seems to be absolutely sitting still and doing nothing. Why are we paying those people? They're not doing their jobs. I mean, you can't just implement stuff like that across the country without
Well, You're right. And, well, it was like, you want to get some grant money. You know, remember that all that stimulus money, how we needed this money to build roads and bridges and this and that? Well, they used part of that money to start this contest. And so states lined up, and would you believe 45 states lined up, Mr. Dan, and gave up the ability to really affect their standards, and Alabama was one of them. There's so much money because Bill Gates decided to really make an investment because, you know, we're always going to have schools. And he figured, hey, why not be a leader in this field, you know? Let's put the need for computers in all the schools, not just certain schools, but make it a requirement, you know. So this is part of the, you know, now the tools of this Common Core issue have to be computerized, which means you have to have computers, or in this case, iPads or tablets, and you have to have internet. So all that, business is involved because they're going to make money off of the software, the hardware. So we see here in Alabama, Mr. Dan, it is really, they're trying to fully implement it, and we are raising up awareness by letting people hear that in states like New York, where it's already, they're ahead of us in implementation, what they're finding is, you know, it is really, as you could tell from that mother, you know, where is the ability to go before your school board and say, this is not right? That is now gone.
Wow. You know, and to think about, this is just the beginning. What's it going to be like 2, 3, 4 years down the road and more? That's just sounding like something lining right up for the Antichrist to get his fingers into and control education.
That's since you said the Antichrist, you know, you had this weekend thing where you had Waleed Shabbat. We, you know, listened to him, and one of the things that Mr. Waleed was mentioning is, you know, we really have to be very careful. We have to be very vigilant. And this thing is called Common Core Standards. And right now all they've passed is really two subjects, the math and the English. And they're drafting the rest up. Can you believe we signed on to something where all of that other stuff has not even been written? And they're just going, okay, year by year we're going to implement something else, you know, social studies, science, no telling. But the Allah is God curriculum that was in the news in Texas, Mr. Dan, that passed through Texas, the school board did not know about it. But it was part of a management tool to help the teachers. Well, unbeknownst to the school board, it had lesson plans, and the teachers were dishing out that lesson plan. It was supposed to be following what the Texas school board had approved, which were very conservative, a traditional type education. But then here's this Common Core that was put in, and that's what's coming our way. It's C-Scope in Texas, but it's Common Core, and that mindset was developed by former terrorist Bill Ayers and Linda Darling-Hammond to the point they had the Allah is God curriculum. And I think, Mr. Dan, there's nothing new under the sun. I know that in the Bible, you know, we see how Herod, you know, tries to destroy children, and here's the enemy again, trying in these modern times to destroy the minds of the children or to manipulate. Which one do you think it would be?
I just don't even like the name of it, Common Core. I mean, Common. What is the Common Core of what? Humanism?
Supposedly Common Core, the core is excellence in education, supposedly. One size fits all, excellence in education. But they're finding out it's dumbing down people.
Gosh, if I hope parents get educated about this because they need to start pulling their kids out and putting them in homeschool situations. That is just awful. I don't know what to, I've heard you mention it before, but I didn't realize actually what it was. And I thought the last time I had heard that Alabama wasn't going to take the money because that kind of tied their hands, to where all the rules and regulations were done outside the state, and the state used to be in control of the educational system. So now you're telling me it is lost.
It's got coming in. Mr. Van, and I know you know, you study the history, you study prophecy, but you see it just really quadrupling, the hand of the enemy quadrupling when it has this manipulative tool over children's minds and destruction of families. But this thing called Common Core, the Republican National Committee did do a great thing. They studied it, and they said, no, we do not want it. It is overreach. You know, parents should have input in their children's education, and this takes the parents away. But our own state senator, president of the Senate, Pro Tem, is holding back a bill. The Senate did pass a good bill to completely get us out. But this one man who thinks he's king, Dale Marsh from Anniston, I cannot believe there's not Christians in Anniston, Mr. Dan, that's not on fire and really calling this senator. I just can't believe that that area of the state, you know, would want their children to be treated like this. But, you know, it's because they don't know, because the mainstream media has not done justice to Alabamians and really throughout the country. They're not sharing the truth anymore. But, yeah, that one man held it back. So right now we're saying, you know, we've got to push him into letting that be voted on by the entire Senate.
Wow. Gosh, it just seems like everything is culminating at one time, taking the arms away from the people, and now the taking their control of the education away from the families. It's happening also rapidly too. That's what's scary to me. And it's being done under an administration that hasn't even proved that it is legitimately legal to be in office. I used to make fun of the people that were called birthers until CBS News hired a forensic team to shut everybody up, and that criminal forensic team trying to prove that his birth certificate was correct found that it was a forged document, and then everybody shuts up about it. I mean, if the man is not legal in office, all these things should be taken away, and if he forged his documentation, he should be in prison. If you and I did that, we would be in jail. And I don't understand how he traveled around the world. How did he get a passport without a legal documentation? This whole thing is it's becoming mind-boggling how stupid people are and how people will let anything go as long as somebody's sticking a buck in their pocket.
Well, Mr. Dan, I think this is, you know, I think of Amos 5:6. Well, I think of the whole Bible and the warnings and the warnings and the warnings. And it does seem like things are just ramping up. And, you know, when we look at the Middle East, you know, and what's going on with Israel, that's a sign of the times for us.
Well, the surrounding nations around Israel, you know, and we're supporting these, we call them freedom fighters, we call them whatever's going on in Syria right now. Every time these people take over their country, then the Muslim Brotherhood takes over, and that's worse than it was. So it's everything is culminating to a head with, you know, things are going to happen so rapidly within the next 10 years, it's going to make our heads spin. It seems like they're trying to shove the baby boomers and the old folks out of the way and get that mindset gone and raise up these kids that they have trained that it's okay to have two mommies and two daddies and sleep with their dog or whatever else, and control their minds, take their guns away from them. Folks better wake up. My goodness, I can't believe all this stuff is going on.
Well, Mr. Dan, you know, the Bible talks about a lot of things way in advance before it ever happened. And I'm thinking to myself, one of the things that they're finding out is, you know how when you buy a CD or DVD and, you know, or electronic equipment, and if you walk out of Walmart, it's going to beep at you unless they go through, you know, something that scans it.
Right.
I think that's called the RFID technology. I can't remember what really the RFID stands for. But already in some states like Florida and Texas, they are putting that on children in forms of cards right now so that they can better know where the child is. But the latest thing, and this is what's so troubling with Common Core. Common Core is not alone by itself. It expects you to do a bunch of things as part of it. I'm going to look at here. When we requested for a waiver, they called it No Child Left Behind. It's so bad. All the teachers hate it, you know, so much testing and this and that. Well, Common Core is No Child Left Behind on steroids, and that you test all the time. And when you hear that child, you know, so troubled and so desperate, because now it's not a school anymore. It's like a jail. And teachers, because in New York their evaluations are tied to the test, Mr. Dan, that's all they do. They are like almost like a little jailer, making sure that child understands that, you know, what's going to be in the test, because it means their grades. I mean, it means they're whether they're going to keep their job or not.
Haven't we just seen in the news where teachers and even principals of schools has been forging these documentations to show that they are, I guess, doing better than they're actually doing?
Right. Oh, yeah. A lot of them in Georgia, and they're everywhere, because now, you know, they're so afraid that they're going to lose their job, because like in New York, we've got, this is not even a news, Ms. Fan, 1,539 New York principals are outraged because of the effects of Common Core. The teachers are telling them, and they're, you know, outraged against it because they're losing good teachers. The testing now determines whether that teacher will get a good evaluation or not. So 1,539 New York principals, you would think that would be headline news, especially when we're fighting this, but there's not a blurb. Not a blurb. But one of the things I wanted to share is also, you know, you heard how troubling that was on the emotional destruction that has played on that child and that mother. And that's just one story we hear. I've heard others. We've had some on this show. One of the first shows we did with some people from New York was of a mother talking about her son, and her son came on and was sharing with us, you know, about that teaching to the test, and they're testing all the time. But he was saying, you know, he was hoping that we would fight for him. You know, he was thanking us for fighting for him.
And we should.
But if the parents don't know, because the news is not doing their job, then it gets very hard. You know, I'm trying to wake up a lot of parents, but, you know, everybody's busy taking care of this and that, ball games and this. But one of the other things that really they need to know, and it's not just a conspiracy theory, is that these children, they're going to get data off of the testing of these children, which they're going to get data already from just, you know, things like, are they black or white? What age are they? What age are their family members? You know, birth dates and social security numbers. They're also going to be getting information such as, are they Republicans or Democrats? And you would think, what business is that of theirs in school? But they're going to gather all sorts of data. And one of the things that we're also hearing, and this is from the Department of Ed, their website is sharing this information. It's public knowledge. It's, you know, some of the technology that's going to be used to gather data is chairs that will feel the pressure. They're pressure-sensitive chairs to feel if, I guess, a child is weak, you know, is stressed about something and puts small weight on this and that. And also they're going to have bracelets on them. Can you believe this, Mr. Dan? This is the technology of the future, and they're going to be children guinea pigs.
This sounds like stuff Michelle Obama's putting out there.
It's awful. It sounds so bad that surely the government won't do something like this, but it's right there in the Department of Ed. That information is available. It's even available in our own Alabama State Department of Ed website. You can find them when they apply for Race to the Top and Common Core Standards. You, if you will take time to read the 300-something pages, it's like Nancy Pelosi, you know. you gotta pass it so you can know what's in it. They pass this thing, and we're just finding out all the stuff that's in it. But again, Mr. Dan, I guess, you know, throughout history, we see this kind of mentalities where they do try to get a hold of the child, the children of tomorrow. And I think about that, Mr. Dan.
You know, this, there's nothing new under the sun. And again, the enemy knows that if he can get the child, the Bible says train up the child, right, and training the admonition of the Lord. And the enemy knows that scripture also.
All right. Golly. And that, boy, once they get full control of the children, we're gone. And there's prophecies in the Bible about the children turning on their own parents. I can see that coming with a situation like this. No telling what they'll instill in the children's minds, and get points, these same points in the future that help them in their grades. Oh, I saw my mommy and daddy cheating on their taxes, or I saw my mom and daddy do this, or blah, blah, blah. You know, we're turning into a big brother situation rapidly. And then the drones. How's the drones going to fit into all this? I understand drones for enemy sites, but for your own public, for your own people, this bothers me. And I don't know if you noticed recently the cars that Obama, the SUVs Obama had built for his motorcade to protect him from the crowds or whatever. They have a turret that comes out the top of them with a Gatling gun on them that shoots over 6,000 rounds a minute. You can't tell me that's for protection. That's for exterminating crowds. It's just everything is just really weird. But yet we're so deep in debt as a nation, and he's putting sanctions on everything and controlling the money and all these things, but yet spending money hand over fist on all these other things. Like, you can't tell me that the school program is cheap if they're giving state money to all the states and all the schools, not to mention all the materials and the testing papers and the booklets. And, Mike, how is that saving money?
Well, you were talking about, you just said at the beginning, a few minutes ago, Mr. Dan, about what they're going to put in the child's mind. And you already see it with the global warming, you know. We've been seeing that for years. And the earth, you know, everybody now is wanting to recycle, which is a good thing. But it can almost be carried to, you know, if you want to pass a global warming law or a promoting the earth law, you know, with these children being raised up the way they are, you know, you just wait until they get to be voting age, and you won't have any problem passing these bills.
Yep.
And,
I'm just going to say
it's already started.
In the survey, as they've done, most of the young teenagers and in the early tween kids, it's okay. Homosexuality is okay.
And, you know, that came from, yeah, I think that's where it's coming from. It's coming really in little by little through the schools. And now it's going to be ramped up because Common Core will do that. These people that developed it, the ones that developed the Allies God curriculum, they're very, very, it's a concerted effort to really ramp things up. But you were talking about putting something in the mind of a child. Would you believe, Mr. Dan, that RFID technology?
Radio frequency.
Yeah. That technology has also been articles. And it makes sense because, you know, technology today is going to be just, you know, just simple nothing in the future. That's the way it is. You know, just like the computers used to be. I think the first computer was like filled up a building. And now you could put little computers and little cell phones, you know. I mean, they're nothing. But this is what they have started working on, Mr. Dan, for that chip not to just be where people can pick up signals, but for it to also be able to receive input.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
So, and they're already talking about, the chip that you put on animals, you know, so that you don't lose the animal. You know, you always know where the animal is. And, you know, we've already heard that with some of our soldiers, you know,
that they have that chip so that we can find them. Well, can you imagine if they also get the technology where they can input? I mean, this is where we're at. But I'm not going to be scared, but I do love God's word because, you know, that's one thing that you do help us to remember is, you know, the end of the book says we went. But in the meantime, we have to occupy until we come. And with all these things I'm saying, Mr. Dan, I was asking God for a word about a week ago when we started interviewing some of these New York folks. And God gave me a word, which was Isaiah 41, which is a beautiful, you know, it's Isaiah 41, Mr. Dan, is just really an incredible chapter. So if you don't mind, talk about that for us.
Well, I don't know it offhand. I'd have to read
it. Oh, okay. Excuse me. Well, it's saying right here, Isaiah 41 says, "Be silent before me, you islands. Let the nations renew their strength. Let them come forward and speak. Let us meet together at the place of judgment. Who has stirred up one from the east, calling him in righteousness to his service? He hands nations over to him and subdues kings before him. He turns them to dust with his sword, to wind-blown chaff with his bow. He pursues them and moves them on unscathed, by paths his feet have not traveled before. Who has done this and carried it through, calling forth the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, with the first of them, and with the last, I am he." But, Mr. Dan, on 13, it says, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." And it's just really been a powerful scripture telling you not to be fearful.
Yeah, sure. I'm reading it now. That's an awesome thing that we have that hope. Can you imagine only being able to place your hope in your government? You know, that's one of the things when I do my prison ministry I compare people who have hope and people who do not have hope, at least as someone who believes in this Holy One of Israel, Christ, our Messiah, we have hope for the future. If we didn't have hope and our hands were tied, we can't do anything about it, it would be even 1,000 times more frustrating than it is right now to us talking about it here. Does that make sense? At least we have him to turn to. And we, like you say, we know the back of the book. And he's going to come at a certain time. He's going to come and put his foot down and says, "Okay, this is getting ridiculous."
Mm-hmm.
Especially with the abortion issue. My golly. And I have been encouraged recently to see so many states passing the law to make it more stringent for the abortion clinics to survive because they have to have access to hospitalization.
Well, Mr. Dan, you know, there's two things that are counter to themselves. One, as you were saying, you know, it's looking like the young people are tolerating homosexuality more, but at the same time, young people are not tolerating abortion. In a way, it's like, you know, young people are really trying to be kind. I think that, you know, that's what the kindness towards homosexuality is. But what they don't understand is, I think the biggest act of unkindness is for not telling the truth to the homosexuals of the price of that sin. And I think, too, Mr. Dan, the abortion issue is starting to show more of the truth. You know, abortion is ugly when you see that child mutilated. And I think these children are getting access to that picture, those kind of pictures. But what they're not getting access to is the pictures of the children that's been molested by homosexuals. You know, they're not getting access to, you know, the statistics, the facts of what happens when these homosexuals, you know, get these diseases. They're not really, you know, getting access to those kind of pictures. You know, I don't really think there's as much of those being put out there. And when you see the truth, that pretty much removes a lot of the lies and suppositions that's out there. And I think you know, if we expect children to be able to make the right decision based on homosexuality, they really need to see the full truth.
I just noticed, I don't like to bring up congregations, but I noticed that the Latter-day Saints kind of caved in on the Boy Scout gay issue, and I wondered, was it because they have so many gay people joined to that church? You know, who in the world, I mean, in my mind, when I was a Boy Scout, I wasn't thinking of what sex I was. I mean, I knew I was a boy, but my mind wasn't on a sexual intercourse of any sort, such or sundries. It was about camping out. It was about learning the things that Boy Scouts do. And now we're willing to put somebody who is an active homosexual in charge of boys and put a homosexual boy that's sexually active at a young age in with other young boys. Where in the world is our... Where's our
well, Ms. Van, I guess, you know, I now figured out when God says, you know, if you be lukewarm, I will spit you out.
Yeah.
I can understand that. Because when people are straddling the fence and they're in the middle, it's really an abomination. I mean, you know, when I think of people that are straddling the middle in regard to abortion, you know, and homosexuality, it's like, you know, you really don't know what you're doing. It's really, for the first time, I really could understand what, a little bit of what God meant when, you know, I will throw you, what does he say, vomit you? For the people that are lukewarm, spew you. I can understand it. It's very sickening, and I know I had heard a story just recently about a man that really, I think the cops shot at him because he was really trying to get killed, commit suicide, because he was a molester. And his name, you know, is all over, you know, when they committed that sex offender, they're on the sex offender list. And, you know, there's this, of course, their stigma. You know, you can never get off that, get over that. And I'm thinking to myself, but then we forget the fact that, you know, a lot of the things that we watch on TV help with that kind of mindset, Mr. Dan.
That's right. Well, that's in lies one of the problems right there. Programming the minds of the masses is the television, and they're trying to even ease up on the regulations. I heard about that in the last couple of weeks on the news too. You know, you're talking about a little at a time. They've just brought it on to the programming on television a little at a time. But now they want to relax all that and even get worse. I don't know.
And then,
I'm just glad I'm getting to the age where I'm ready for my Lord to come. I'm past all this, these desires.
Well, Mr. Dan, how close are we? How close are we, do you think?
Well, what I tell the prison folks that I preach to down there, I tell them, look at me. I was born in 1947, and it was promised to my generation that saw the children of Israel returning to Israel after 2,000 years being dispersed into the nations, that it would be my generation that sees our Messiah coming in power from heaven. And I'm getting old. I'm 66 years old, so it's just a matter of time. My generation, what is the generation, 70 years? So I have, four more years, and since they actually established Israel in 1948, so we'll say 5 more years. So within 5 years, we're promised that the Lord would return. So,
wow.
We are very, very close. We are seeing the signs. We're going through the birth pains. They're getting more and more frequent. They're getting more and more intense. And I want you to notice something here, and anybody else that's listening. And I'm not into astrology or anything, but notice that the dark cycles, when the moon is full, you have less evil activity going on than when the moon is in this darkness, in the dark phase, the 3 or 4 days of dark phase. Seems like all these disasters, natural and human disasters, happen during the dark phases. There's got to be a sign even in that, and the scriptures tell us about the signs in the heavens. So kind of keep vigilant on that. I mean, the moon is waning right now. In about, 10 more days we'll go into the dark cycle, and maybe something, I don't want to curse something coming on the earth or anything, but it just seems like all these things, like the Boston bombing was during a dark cycle, the school shooting up in New Jersey or wherever it was during a dark cycle. And the scriptures tell us that they like to do their deeds in the darkness. That doesn't mean nighttime. It's in that cycle of darkness for some reason. It's a sign.
Wow.
I've been kind of keeping track of that just to see if I'm right, but it seems to be correct. I've been doing it for about a couple of years now. It seems like all these things, even the tsunami that hit Japan was right during a dark cycle. So, but it's
well, Mr. Wang, I mean, Mr. Dan, you and Mr. Wang talk about this stuff. Well, Mr. Dan, I was thinking about a scripture that where Jesus says that really, you know, for us that, you know, that wants for it to hurry up and come on, that it's not going to be a good day. It's almost like we're going to suffer first. And so, which is, I think, the way you've seen it, that we're going to go through some tribulation. And when you hear what's going on, just like with this mother and watching your child suffer like that.
Exactly. Christ is not raising up Christians, especially those who are full of faith, especially those who are good workers and producing fruit. He's not rising us up not to do things during these dark times. It's during the dark times that the light shines the brightest. And, you know, we're called to do a work, and we have to do that work. I get so tired of preachers saying, oh, don't worry about these things. We'll be raptured out of here. Excuse me? No one knows exactly when the rapture will take place, even if you believe in the rapture. Personally, I believe in a rapture, but I believe it's going to take place at the time that the two witnesses are raised up out of the streets, and that's when the dead in Christ will rise. Now, when that timing is, I don't know. It doesn't make any difference. To me, what makes a difference is we got to do all we can now, because if we don't and we don't warn people, their blood is held accountable to us when we stand before God. But if we warn them and we stand before God, the blood's on them. So those of you out there that are listening, that are born again, Christ following emulators of Christ, get off your duffs and let's get to work. You know, these things, what Diane has been talking about this morning has got me all fired up. I don't know what I can do, but I'm going to start doing some intensive prayer about it, if nothing else. But we have got to get into action. Get into the prisons. Get into the schools. If you think something like this is going on in your community, there's nothing that can keep you from going and auditing that class. You have the right to do that as a parent, to go check and see what's going on, what your children are being taught. Does our vote not count anymore? How can the state accept money from the government and implement a program without the okay of the parents of those children? This is beyond my comprehension. Nothing is supposed to be put upon the American people that hasn't been voted on. You can't pass laws that aren't voted on. I don't remember voting about this.
Well, Mr. Dan, let me tell you what has been in the news. And see, the news has become a family's enemy, because the news will lift up these men that have lied to us. There is a state superintendent of education. His name is Tommy Bice. And what he has said is, wait a second, we did tell you all about it. Don't you remember we had 4 regional meetings to get input from the public, from the parents? Mr. Dan, I don't know what paper they put it in. It must have been very fine print. I had to call people in the Mobile region to go to their meeting, and they were the only parents there. There were educators. And you know, if parents knew something this drastic was going to happen. They had been enforced. But what happened was, instead of giving it to kids, which they do for every kind of party, every kind of thing that the education people want to pass out, they'll send it to little kids in their homeworks, you know, in their book bags, you know, it's in there. Do you think this merited that? No. It was, you know, it was part of a plan. They didn't want us informed. So, but he will tell you, yes, we had public input. Wish more people would have been there, but they weren't. So we decided we would pass this. This is a good thing. These are tested, which is a lie because they were not. There's a video out there of Texas Commissioner of Education, Robert Scott, who said, I want to see these standards that you want me to sign on to. And they told him, it's not yet been written. And indeed, it wasn't written until 3 months later after we signed on in March. The final draft was written, and it was published in June. But yet they're calling it Common Core is tested. And it is internationally benchmarked for all the good words that goes with it. And the teachers are saying the same thing. The principals are saying the same thing. Most of these educators are walking lock in step behind the superintendent. And, Mr. Dan, that is a lot of these people are Christians. And what they're not realizing is their fear of their job, which I can understand that that's a very real fear. Mr. Dan, isn't there a scripture that you're supposed to fear the one who kills the soul, not the body?
Right. I mean, and there's another one I was thinking about. I can't remember. We're just talking about the spirit of deception. And that's exactly what a deception is, worse than a lie, because it's a color-coded lie, basically. When you deceive people, trick people into thinking that there's good things happening, and then stuff like this is actually going on, that is nothing but deception. And that's what I'm arguing about right now. Is what I don't understand is how any of this came about without us voting on it. It's always been a problem to me, the power that the education, Alabama education, and even the national education people have. It needs to be reined in on. And the only way you can do that is place it on a ballot. And it'll probably...
Well, Mr. Dan,
because people are...
If you know someone that lives in the Anniston area, maybe you can tell them what you learned, because Anniston area is where this Dale Marsh was voted into power. And if parents had known that this person would not allow a bill that would get us out of this mess to be voted on by the entire Senate, I don't think he would have been put in that position of power. You know, he's not there to dictate, and that's exactly what he's dictating. He's dictating that we push any kind of bill that would repeal Common Core, take it off the table. It's not going to be acted on. And he was in the news, Mr. Dan, saying that he said he could not wrap his hands around this issue. He had not had the time to focus on it because there's other issues to focus on. And I'm thinking, what part does he not get that children are important, that children should be priority? And why, when he was, Heritage Foundation, Lindsey Burke came to talk to him about it before the Republican caucus, would you believe he walked out? He did not want to know. So I'm calling on people that have friends and relatives in the Anniston area in his district to please let him know how important. You heard the cry of a mother's heart. That is so heartbreaking, and you don't want to be in that position. And it's better to do something about it now than to wait after your child. Because, Mr. Dan, that child has had trauma, and it's like a scar on that child's brain and that child's emotion.
How was that making education appealing to that child? That child dreads to go to school. If children are starting to dread, you know, do you remember when you were a young child, you hated to take tests. Everybody didn't like to take tests. I never knew anybody that enjoyed taking a test. And now it's all about is testing. thank God I'm not going to school now. I'm glad I'm through with all that.
Me and you both. But my heart breaks, Mr. Dan. And I think to myself, the legislature here is almost, the session's almost over. We have till just May the 20th. But if people will call and say, we expect this process to work as it should, we the people, not to be dictated by one man, and to not to be lied upon by the superintendent of education, the man that should be sharing the truth, is the one withholding the truth. So it's a mess, Mr. Dan. And I think to myself, Mr. Dan, this issue should move the churches.
It should. It really should. And these kind of issues should come into the churches. The churches need to start preaching warnings right now instead of feel good. I'm so tired of feel good preaching. It makes me want to puke. It's not time for feel good preaching. It's time to wake up preaching to get going on in the churches and get people stirred up. That's the only thing that's going to bring revival and restoration.
Well, Mr. Dan, if you and I feel like puking, can we just imagine how God feels, Sam? Oh, my goodness. These are not good times. These are dangerous times. But he did give that word. He said, do not fear, for he is with us. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. And he says, all who rage against you will surely be ashamed and disgraced. So, really, I feel sorry for these people in power that think, they have to answer to no one.
They will have to answer to God one day.
Well, Mr. Dan, I know this is, we usually talk about what's going on in Israel, but I'm going to share that little bit every day. I feel like I need to play it every day, that mother's heart, because the news is not covering it, and I'm thinking we've got to be the one sharing the truth because, that there's no telling teenagers, Mr. Dan. I mean, we just heard a small child. But, if they're going to be bringing things down through the road through the education system that's going to mislead a child away from the Lord, make their mind question, what they're hearing from their parents about their Lord and Savior, about their faith, then I know there's a scripture for that, Mr. Dan. It's better to hang a millstone. So it's a warning.
Yeah.
And Mr. Dan, a millstone, how heavy was a millstone in those days? I cannot imagine.
Well, it was enough to drag you to the bottom real quick.
Well, with that in mind, Mr. Dan, I know we see the signs of Israel, and then we see the signs here at home, don't we? We just, there's so many signs now.
Yeah, a lot of them. And then, Islam is rampant, rattling their swords. And here we have these kind of issues going on. I'm just ready for the Lord to come. Lord, come quickly and straighten this mess out. Man has gotten himself in a dilemma.
But you know what, Mr. Dan? The good thing about it, because it's like you said, the light shines brightest in the darkness. As you were saying, one of the things that I know I am hearing, parents are getting down their knees and they're asking God to help them because nobody else will help them.
Praise God.
So with that in mind, Mr. Dan, that's what it's all about. Would you give an invitation to those that do not know the Lord for such a time as this?
Well, I don't know why anybody would want not to know the Lord in times like this, but of course I've had a relationship with my master for a while now, and I don't know how I could live without it. But those of you who don't have a redeemer, a friend, a Messiah that you can go to and let him just put his arms around you and love you and give you hope and encourage you that this won't last much longer, it'll be over with soon, endure, for you that don't believe in Christ, give him a chance. You've given the world a chance. How's it worked out for you? Let's try giving God's kingdom a chance. Well, let him open doors for it. Let him order your footsteps and see how things change in your life. All you have to do is open your heart to him and ask him into your heart. It says, Lord, I believe that you are my Messiah, and I believe that you gave your life so that I may be washed in your grace and be righteous in your sight, so I don't have to worry about the condemnation and judgment of the end, that I will be in your kingdom forever. So, Lord, now teach me to live your ways. Teach me to be a child of the King and a child of the kingdom. And we'll give you all the praise and glory in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. And, Mr. Dan, I think, too, one of the things that these times are doing is, you know, it says that you have to have the faith of a little child, right?
Yeah.
God's Word says that. And I think about the many people that are out of work, that they don't even know if they're going to make it, you know, to the next day. And, you know, it's so wonderful to be able to really, you know, see God's hand in your life. I know I've seen it many times, you know. And in a way, for us Christians, even though it is dark and, you know, there's so many things, it's such a really great opportunity for the faith to increase, is it not?
Yes, it is. This is a definite time for faith to increase.
Well, the harvest is ripe, so we thank God. We need more workers for the harvest, Mr. Dan. So.
We are living in a special generation. We are living in a generation that's going to see the creator of all things break through that eastern sky. I mean, we were born for such a time as this. So we just have to ask the Lord to give us the strength to get through it. We got to go through the sad. We got to go through the birth pains before the baby comes.
Oh, Mr. Dan, I know it's time for us to go, but I'd love for you to share one story because I love this story. If you don't mind, you know, for those that have not heard this story about Elijah asking the Lord to let his servant's eyes see something super all-powerful, would you mind sharing that?
He just opened up the eyes of heaven to show the army of angels, of God's angels, momentarily.
Would you share the background of that a little bit?
Well, I don't know exactly where to find it in Scripture, but they were so outnumbered in the battle that there was no chance in man's thinking that things could be won with such a few amount of people, but he called for God to open their eyes momentarily to see the real world, so to speak, the spirit world that's behind everything. And when he revealed that, the hundreds of the legions, the thousands and thousands of angels, that would give you encouragement. If you saw what was supporting us in the spirit world right now that we can call upon, it would really encourage us. But our faith is stronger when we, you know, when we don't see. And I don't know. I'm not really telling the story, but I'd have to refresh.
No, that's it. Our faith is stronger when we don't see. We have to walk in faith, as you're saying. But then that comes right in there with that Isaiah 41, when he says, "Do not, for I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you." And the next verse is, "Do not be afraid, O worm Jacob, O little Israel, for I myself will help you, declares the Lord your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel." And I love what it says a little bit further too, Mr. Dan, before I let you go. It says, "See, I will make you into a threshing sledge, new and sharp with many teeth. You will thresh the mountains and crush them and reduce the hills to chaff. You will winnow them. The wind will pick them up and a gale will blow them away. But you will rejoice in the Lord and glory in the Holy One of Israel." Have you ever seen what they're talking about, a threshing sledge?
Oh, yeah. If you ever take a trip to Israel, you'll see one. It's like a it almost looks like a what do you call the things you ride, the toboggan. It's curved. It's a piece of wood that's curved up in the front, and it has holes cut in it, and then it has spikes also. And the ox pulls it around on the threshing floor, and a person stands on it and is riding it. It's kind of like water skiing behind an oxen going in a circle, but it crushes all the chaff and the stems and stuff out, gets the seeds out onto the threshing floor. That's interesting.
Wow.
Thing.
Well, I'd like to get a picture of that. Do you have a picture of that by chance, Mr. Dan?
Somewhere in my...
I'd like to get a picture of that and put that on our website. Oh, I love it. So he says for us not to be fearful, so we're not going to be fearful. But, folks, you need to know so you can fight. You need to know where the enemy is so you can fight for your children. Here in Alabama... and in other states, one nation under God. And I think that makes it, that really, I think this issue, Mr. Dan, is going to unite this country like nothing has. You know, the economy didn't do it. The bad economy didn't do it. Obamacare didn't do it. But, Mr. Dan, how awesome of God to use the first institution that he made, the family, to unite. Wow. It is time. It's a coming home time, coming to see, you know, what God wants for us and our families, and it's a coming back to him that he is our help. Do not be afraid, a worm Jacob. Oh, I love it. Well, thank you, Mr. Dan. And I know we didn't get to talk about Israel. I got caught up in this other stuff. Somebody called me today, and she said, no, I was listening to the show, and I was ironing my pants, and then I heard that woman, and she said she was just, racked in tears, sobs, you know, she just could not help it. And I know that mothers that hear that, they're going to feel the same way. So we got to keep up the fight, Mr. Dan. So thank you, sir, for always being there for us when we need you.
Well, you're quite welcome, and thank you for having me on. God bless.
God bless you. I'm going to send you a little flyer on this. We're going to put out a little flyer on this, and maybe you could take it to your pastor, Mr. Dan. And the listeners can also take it to their pastor, to their church, and say, we will not let this stand. We must get rid of this evil thing called Common Core Standards. Well, thank you, and God bless you, listeners. Please share the show. And, oh, Mr. Dan, you're going to love this. Thursday's National Day of Prayer. And we've got Chaplain Gordon Klingensmith with us, going to join us on National Day of Prayer. So join us, too, if you can. But anyway, well, thank you, sir. God bless you, listeners. Go to www.cityonahill.tv and share the podcast throughout the world. Goodbye.